salvation of those who reject the gospel. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Well, she's almost done. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tomeo, but she is on the other line with Steve Ray, and we're going to chat with her in 1 second, but coming up after we talk with Teresa and Steve Ray, Mary Sheehan Warren is coming on, the author of Thoughtful Girl's Guide to Fashion, Communication and Friendship, and a important conversation to have with your daughter. And then Nate Wina will be joining us from Corporate Travel about an event that Teresa and Deacon Dom are doing and involved in. But right now, I get to live vicariously through Teresa and Steve Ray until I take my own trip with them. That is on my bucket list for Ronnie and Elena and I to go to the Holy Land with Steve Ray and Teresa. But right now, I'm just going to live vicariously through them. Teresa and Steve Ray, how are you?
We are just great, V, and we are literally at our pool deck of our hotel, the beautiful Round Beach in Tiberias. It's just incredible. We're looking at literally the Sea of Galilee is right in front of us, and there's an apostle boat going by, and the sun is shining on the Golan Heights, and I'm so grateful for Steve and Janet for bringing me and Dominic back to co-host with them. It's just been a fabulous. We've been here for 4 days. We went to Jordan first, never been to Jordan, which was a phenomenal experience, and Steve and Janet do such an amazing job of connecting the Old and New Testaments. And I think that's what I got the most out of being in Jordan in the history of our faith. And it just makes you feel so proud to be Catholic.
Teresa, is Jordan where you met the Chaldean waiter? You texted me?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. And I thought of you last night. And we were at a restaurant owned by our Jordanian guide, Elias. His family owns two restaurants. And his wife is just wonderful. She made us a beautiful meal. And there was a waiter there. And Steve and Elias were explaining his situation that he had been in, he's in Jordan right now and his family can finally go back home to Iraq. And I'm like, do you know my friend Vanessa? Chaldean, he was looking at me kind of strangely, but he was very familiar with the fact that there are many Chaldeans in southeastern Michigan. So yeah, it was really sweet. A dear man, a very nice gentleman. And just the hospitality of the Middle Eastern people, and you know that because that's your background. Yeah. And they're just beautiful people, beautiful people.
Yeah, very welcoming. Let me ask you this. I jokingly say I live vicariously through you and Steve Ray, Steve, and because you've taken all these trips. It's on my bucket list. But when you go back to these pilgrimages, the Holy Land, and you've been there so many times, you and Steve, you could chime in here. Is it something new every time you go? I mean, do you get something different from these trips, even though you've seen some of these places before?
Well, I'm gonna toss it over to Steve in a second because we're just talking with Nancy, one of our pilgrims from the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And she was asking Steve, as he was pointing some things out to her along the Sea of Galilee, she said, do you still get goosebumps? Do you still get emotional? And Steve said, every time. Steve's been here over 150 times. I've been here, I think this is my 14th time here, and I'm just so glad to be back. And it just feels like home because this is where it all began for all of us as Christians. And I'm going to let Steve comment here as well. Go ahead, Steve.
People ask me, don't you ever get tired of going there? Same things over and over and over again. But you know what? I tell people, yes, I've seen these places over and over again, but I still get tears in my eyes every time I come. I love the Bible. I love the Catholic faith. I love the Lord and Mary and all the Catholic here and the Old Testament too. And I tell people, I get to see it again for the first time through your eyes.
Yeah.
And when I see your eyes well up with tears, and I see you just kneel down and have this over. I remember when I was going up close to here. And Calvary is a hard place to get up to. It's very steep stone steps up there. And we thought Al would never get up there. But Al was determined to get up there. And he climbed, he fell off of his wheelchair. And he climbed up those steps on his hands and knees all the way to the top.
Wow.
And I got a chair for him up at the top where Calvary was, where Jesus hung on the cross. And we let Al sit there for an hour. And he said to me that was one of the most important hours of his whole life. And I had tears in my eyes while I watched Al and Sally sitting up there in front of Calvary, just overwhelmed with what was not only what they were seeing and touching, but what was touching them.
Wow, what a testimony. That's beautiful. I mean, I love the fact that you get to experience it through the eyes of other people. I mean, and how it moves you, even though you've seen it so many times and you're the tour guide, you're really showing them around, but it changes you, Stephen, that experience of seeing other people go through it. That's amazing.
It is really, it is quite phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I still get tears in my eyes on my own because I learn new things every time I come myself. Mm-hmm. Every time I come, I insist that I learn new things. I read the Bible passages again. I think about them again in proximity with different locations and what happened here, mm-hmm. and the words Jesus used or whatever. But mm-hmm. I still get emotional just myself. In fact, today, twice I choked up when I was talking about this and sharing it with people because it's still very neat. It's not a job. This is not just a job where you come and you're a tour guide. This is mm-hmm. something that's very real to me, and I'm coming here bringing my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I want to share it with them. It's like if you're in a family and you have a new baby, which, by the way, we did have a new baby today, a new grandbaby, number 16. Was born today.
God bless.
And I wanted to share that with everyone because uh-huh. it's so exciting.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same with this. This is my land. This is our land. It's not just the land of the Jews here. This is our land. And when we come here, I love to share it with my family, my brothers and sisters and friends.
When you take a group on a pilgrimage such as this, Stephen, Teresa, do you recommend that they read the Bible verses that correlate to the scenes that you're going to visit?
Yeah, absolutely what we do. We have Mass every day, and that's really important. And there's different books that they can take. Magnificat has a special version for the Holy Land. And you can, of course, read ahead of time, which I think really helps. We've all heard these verses so many times before, but when you are in the actual Holy Land or when you're in Jordan and you're connecting the Old and New Testament, you have someone as knowledgeable as Steve explaining things to you and putting the pieces together. And when you have a guide like Elias, who grew up in Jordan and who leads tours all the time, or Amr Shaheda, who's our guide, our Catholic guide here, everything makes a lot more sense. But reading it, it really comes to mean so much more because every single word has meaning. God mm-hmm. never wastes a word in Scripture. And when you see how it actually occurred and what they were speaking of specifically, for example, we're going to be going up to Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus said to Peter, "On this rock I shall build my church." And we see the phrase, "Jesus took them up to Caesarea Philippi." And we see, oh, up to Caesarea Philippi. It's down the block. It's a mile away. It's well north of here. It's about a 40-minute bus ride, but he walked them up there for a specific purpose and to use
wow.
the temple in the background, you know, as an example of the fake God's hand for the real God, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. So everything has meaning, and the more you read Scripture, the more you get to learn about it, especially when you come here. It's just the icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm. And then I understand, Teresa, you had emailed me, and Steve, too, you could chime in. You went to the original Baptist site as well?
Yes. Yes, because for years they still take a lot of tourists or pilgrims to a particular site along the Jordan, but it's very commercial. But the Catholic Church is building a very, very large church in the actual site of the Jordan. We were there this morning and we had Mass, and Deacon Don was able to serve that Mass, which is very moving. But I'm going to let Steve talk about it because it's, mm-hmm. it's really historically significant. It's not just something like, oh, we think it happened here. They know for a variety of reasons that's where the actual baptism of our Lord in the Jordan took place.
Steve?
So one of the reasons that we know that it happened there is because when the peace treaty was signed between Israel and Jordan, and for the first time they could do archaeology, it was a war zone before. Once the peace treaty was signed, 1997, then they could go down to the archaeology, and they found 14 churches built on a little stretch of that river, which showed that the early Christians knew where Jesus had been baptized, and they put these churches along that little stretch, and there's one particular church that has marble steps that went down into a little area where there was a pool. It's very difficult to baptize someone in the river because this is muck. I've done myself more than once, stepped into it, I sink up to my hips in muck. Muddy
oh,
muck.
Wow.
And so what Jesus did is he went to a pool there, and that's where John the Baptist was baptizing in this little pool. And the famous Christians knew that, and they built churches with steps going down to this little pool, and we have records of pilgrims, just like us, but who came in the first hundreds of years. And they gave testimony. We went to this place and we saw where Jesus was, and there were churches built there. So we really, there's no mystery to this. Archaeology, the witness of the early Christians, tradition, testimony of pilgrims that went there, it makes it very clear where Jesus is baptized, also where he was born, where he was crucified and raised from the dead, and all the other things that he did. We don't have to guess and wonder. It's pretty clear from all of the evidence we have where these things happened.
Mm-hmm. And so now the Catholic Church is building a church on this site. Is that true? Is that what you said, Teresa?
Yes, King Abdullah of Jordan.
Uh-huh.
King Abdullah of Jordan, who's very smart, and he's secular. He's not really a radical Muslim king. He's very secular. Mm-hmm. He's not as educated in the West. And he came to Christians there. And when the Pope came, he gave the Pope a piece of land, a beautiful piece of land right on the river Jordan. And now the Christians are building a marvelous church there. And it's taking longer than I wish it would. I mean, I wish it had done quicker, but it is being built. And we went in that church today to walk there. And it's just going to be a gorgeous, beautiful church.
Mm-hmm. Teresa, let me ask you this. You bring, you go on these pilgrimages and you bring the stories back to your listeners. I mean, many of them, like me, are living vicariously through you and Steve. But what do you want to share with your listeners about this particular trip and this particular experience?
Well, I think for me, and Steve and I were talking about this, because as you know, we were both on the road a lot. Steve is over here doing a lot more pilgrimages than I do. He does it almost full time. But we also speak, and we're also out there on the front lines defending the faith and explaining the faith. Mm-hmm. And I think for both of us, and even for Deacon Dominic, who's with me, who speaks with me quite often now on the issue of marriage and our journey home to the church, for me, I need this. I need to come and be reminded of the history and the beauty of the church, because there's a lot of us that are very hurt right now, and we're struggling, and we know the church is under assault from both inside and without. It's one thing to feel it from the outside. We expect that because we're always swimming upstream. But from the inside, it's been so painful. Even having some one-on-one conversations with some of the pilgrims here, how they're struggling and how they've been moved to tears already. They've only been here for a few short days. So I would say to people, even if you can't afford to do it right now, either time-wise or money-wise, to really seriously consider. I think every Catholic, and I say this all the time, should go to the Holy Land and Rome, because when you pull back and you see the big picture and you see the beauty of the faith, the reality of it, the fact that it's not just tradition, obviously we have tradition with a capital T as well, but our faith is real. It all started here, and we can walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and you have powerful experiences, and it reminds you why you're Catholic. And I can't think of anything more important right now, whether it's Rome, whether it's the Holy Land, whether you do a pilgrimage at home to one of your local beautiful basilicas, or maybe head down to EWTN to remind yourself of the history of the faith and the saints and the doctors of the church and everyone that went before us. So for me, I'm going to continue to share that, but it's getting me all fired up again to go out on a very busy speaking schedule. When I go back, I hit the road running, and in March, every weekend I'm booked, and so I'm going to be out there defending the faith, and this definitely helps.
Let me ask you this one last question, Teresa, before we let you go, and Steve. You know, Teresa, you've said this on the air before. A lot of people, in light of what's going on in the church, they say, well, I don't even want to go to Rome. I'm so upset. I don't want to go see the Vatican. I'm so upset. And you have said just the opposite. That's more of the reason to go.
I say run into the arms of the church, run into the arms of Jesus, or run into the arms of the church, because when you do that, you see that there is this isn't our first rodeo. We've been through things before. That's not to minimize what's going on right now, because it's horrific, and I fear we're going to be hearing more in the next couple of months and years. But what this does is this may remind you of Jesus promised us that he is going to be with us till the end of the age. Are we going through a purgation, a purification? Will there be a smaller church? Probably, but at the same time, why let any of this keep you from a church that was founded by God himself right here in Israel, the Holy Land? It's just so powerful, and I'm, despite all of our issues, I'm still super, super proud to be Catholic because of what she actually does in terms of represent who Jesus is in the faith.
Teresa and Steve, thanks for joining us. You want to chime in?
I want to let Steve have the last word here.
Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Pilgrimage leader.
Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, it's great to have people come along. It's a lot of fun. You've got a lot of energy, and your husband, Dominic. So, you know, it's wonderful to have them along. And all the people that come with us, the wonderful Catholics who come, they love the Lord, they love Mary, they want to pray the Rosary. where it happened. We wanted to have a real experience. I know that we can go to any church in the United States and have an improvement by going there and sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament for an hour, or going in many pilgrimage sites in the United States. There are places like that. But to come here, this is called holy ground. That's different. Only because God wants you. And I always tell people, don't just come here and think you're going to touch the land. Let the land touch you. Why? Because we as Catholics have a sacramental aspect to us. We believe that God uses things. And he came down and he touched the water and he made the water into wine and he did things here. And when we're in the presence of his presence when he was here, it has a big impact on us. We don't just touch the land, we let the land touch us. And the Holy Spirit does that while we're here.
Beautiful. Thank you, Teresa and Steve. Have safe travels. Enjoy the rest of the pilgrimage, and we'll talk to you both when you guys get back.
You don't think it'll happen to you twice. First, it was a fire. My agent was right there and helped me rebuild. Then the tornado destroyed everything again. Both times, my independent agent and auto owners took care of me like someone takes care of family.
For whatever lies ahead, we're always there. Auto Owners Insurance.
For your no-obligation quote, please call Choice Insurance at 734-641-4200.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
What are the doctrines Catholics believe, and why do we believe them? Hi, this is Peggy Stanton. Join me on Power from the Pews for more than a minute with the Catechism, as I quiz the experts, top theologians, philosophers, and catechists to share the truths about our Catholic faith. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio this morning. The Thoughtful Girl's Guide to Fashion Communication and Friendship. Joining us about that book is the author, Mary Sheehan Warren. Mary, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So it is a girl's guide to the art of communicating through words, action, dress, and demeanor. That you're a person with value and dignity. What an important book. As a mom of a tween, I could tell you, a middle schooler, this is an important conversation to have. So who did you write the book for? Who's the target audience?
When I wrote the book, I was really thinking about all the young women in my life, and the center of that are my three daughters.
Mm.
And the my nieces and, well, I, not my nephews so much, but my nieces and my students and all the other young women that I know, I thought, what do I really want to tell them?
Mm-hmm.
I had written a book about 10 years ago for my peers, purely a fashion book with a little bit of depth to it, and I'd always said that I would write a follow-up book for young women, especially teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the book. This is the book where I try to get into the background on why we should care about our communication in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And how does fashion play a role in how you communicate? What is your message to them? And I'm going to answer that, and I'm going to tell you a little story I saw at church. But go ahead. How does fashion play a role?
Fashion is a tool. So our clothing, our accessories, even the way we wear our hair, our makeup, or the way we accessorize, these are all ways that we communicate first about ourselves, our attitude about who we as an individual are, who we mm-hmm. as individuals are, who we, mm-hmm. What we believe about ourselves, what we believe about the situation in which we find ourselves, what's our attitude, what's our sense of self-worth, going back to the idea that when we dress, we're communicating about how we value ourselves. Do we see where we're placed in the universe? Do we dress as if we're daughters of God? So clothing is one tool. So that's why the book covers many other tools, so that it's all kind of wrapped together as one.
You know, it's interesting. A few years ago, it was Christmas, Eve Mass, and my daughter caught this. She was a little younger then. Maybe she was like 8 at the time. And we're walking on a mass. It was very cold. It was a very cold winter night. And a young girl, high schooler, walks out of church with her arm around her dad, and she was wearing the shortest skirt possible that just barely covered, you know, her behind. No tights, no nylons, and like these very high, like stiletto shoes. And and my daughter looks at us and she says, "Mom, would that be considered inappropriate?" And I quickly looked at her, and my husband shook his head, and I said, "Very inappropriate." And she said, "Just for church or all the time?" And I said, "All the time, but especially for church." And I just couldn't believe like what I was seeing. And I actually put it on. I didn't say anybody's name. I didn't take a picture. I just put it on Facebook. How, you know, unsettling that was to see that, and how my 8-year-old pointed that out. And a friend of mine chimed in, and she said, "Yeah, try being the person who had to sit behind her in Mass and have to see that throughout the whole Mass."
Yeah.
And it just boggles my mind. You know, Mary, it's one thing to communicate to the girls about this.
Yes.
It's another thing that it's like you want to go up to the parents and shake them. And it's like, really? I mean, did you think this was appropriate for your teenager to walk out of the house looking like this and then walk into Christmas Eve Mass like this?
Right.
I mean, what is your thought process to the parents?
Oh, boy. Well, in writing the book, I spoke directly to the girls because when you use the word inappropriate, it's inappropriate on many levels. Anytime you dress, you have to consider the environment, like the weather even. Just when you said it was cold, I thought was the first thing.
Yeah, I was like, where's your tights? It's freezing.
Right, and the respect toward the environment, if it's Mass, obviously, there's a whole other layer right there. So I do speak directly to girls about the reasoning, the why. Because I'm not assuming that girls are told by their parents that a particular style is inappropriate or even have a gauge or an internal gauge that tells them that some things are appropriate and others aren't. It has been missing. My generation, so I'm at the beginning of the Generation X, and so my peers and I are, you know, our children are now late teenagers and adults and some young teenagers, and my peers never really got it. So I figure let's just go directly to young women. I'd say as young as preteen for sure. When you can bring in some more complex things to the argument, such as sexual attraction, as soon as they understand what's behind clothing, the power of clothing, I think most girls, you know, they give a double take. They think a second time about it when you really explain well. So to the parents, I think there is this misconception on what's appropriate. There is a whole type of parent who thinks, well, there's a big wave out there. I might as well just let them do it. Everybody just float along because it's a losing battle sort of thing. I'm glad that my mother didn't think that.
Neither did my parents.
Right. Now, my mother's from a completely different generation, so she was in a perpetual state of shock. But she planted the seed. I think the very first thing is to communicate to children, hey, look, this is your place in the universe. According to our Catholic faith, our understanding of God, our understanding of Jesus as our Savior, you know, you have a very special place. Your body is a gift. It's a sacred more than a thing. You are mm-hmm. you are sacred in that you have been created in the image and likeness of God, and we mm-hmm. need to communicate this using all the tools at our disposal, including and especially fashion, because of the very strong visual mm-hmm. element. So, mm-hmm. I sympathize with parents, even though mm-hmm. I've been writing about styling for years. I have my own business. I teach college. You think that my children would look at me and give me some cred, right?
But, yeah.
You know, there's a rebellion because adolescence has that to begin with. I think we just
sure.
have to, you know, understand that we can't let them take control
yeah.
of the rules and the conversation, that we
yeah.
need to be there all the time.
You know, and Mary, I was part of the same. I'm part of the same generation you're in, and I remember when we would roll up our skirts. You know, when we got to school, you know, so they're a little higher than they're supposed to be. We put on makeup that we weren't supposed to wear, and we took it all off and rolled down our skirt before we got home because we knew our parents would have a fit. You know,
that's right.
So we hid it
yes.
a little bit. But we're going to take a break, but there's so much more going on here in this generation than what we had. And I want to talk to you when we come back after the break, the privilege of being a woman and how that differs from being a man. Stay with us, everyone. We're continuing our conversation with Mary Sheehan Warren, the author of The Thoughtful Girl's Guide to Fashion, Communication, and Friendship. We'll be right back.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. I'd like to invite you to go on a pilgrimage with me. Why a pilgrimage? It's life-changing. It makes the Bible come alive. We have several coming up in the fall and winter of this year. St. Paul Cruise, 9 biblical sites, Mexico and Guadalupe. It's very safe and beautiful, by the way, and many to the Holy Land.
Pick the pilgrimage that's right for you. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the pilgrimage link. There's 2 coming up and a lot more to come. AveMariaRadio.net.
What are the roots of the Catholic Mass, the source and summit of our life together? Jewish convert and teacher Mark Neugebauer provides us with some answers.
These two Jewish believers, they have this testimony in the choir. I said, what are they about? They have peace, they have joy, they have love. I said, guys, what are you about? They said, Jesus. I said, how could you? How could you believe in that one who is the cause of so much suffering of our people? They said, well, why don't we come over and we'll talk about it? I said, fine, I'm coming to you and I'm going to prove to you he's not the Messiah, and you can say whatever you want.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting on the Mind of Christ. Jewish to Protestant to Catholic, convert Mark Neugebauer opened the door to Christ. He spoke at the Jewish Roots of the Catholic Mass Conference. He shares his story and takes a look at the big picture on our next program. Listen to the first of 3 conference talks on Putting on the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
As a mother of a middle schooler, a tween, I just think this is a conversation surrounding the book that Mary Sheehan Warren wrote, The Thoughtful Girl's Guide to Fashion, Communication, and Friendship, is so important. And, Mary, you talk about the privilege of being a woman, and what a great conversation to have with your daughters and how that differs from being a man. So what can you say to our listeners this morning about that?
Well, I think first, the public conversation and the conversation that's happening in our culture is so far off the mark. And it's louder sometimes than the message that a mom or, you know, a good family tries to convey. But essentially that message is that man and woman are different. They were both created in the image and likeness of God, so they are equal in their dignity before God. But they are different and at the same time complementary. So I do dig a little bit into John Paul the Great theology of the body to kind of, you know, build up my framework of thinking here. So in being different, it's okay to assert that, and it's definitely great to look at oneself, body and soul, and to see value in it being female. I mean, we are created by design to bear and nourish and nurture life by design. Of course, not everyone goes on to the vocation to marriage, motherhood, and having a family, but that value is right there in the design. So beautiful that we have this special part in the plan of creation, in God's direct hand in the creation of another human being. I mean, another human being created in the image and likeness of God, another human being who has this incredible value. It's just so beautiful. It should just put us in awe. And I think once we truly realize that, then we turn to these tools like fashion and clothing and the way we communicate, the way we speak, our body language, the way we even take in information, that we all process and produce messages that reflect this great value that we have as women.
Mm-hmm. You also include in the book highlights examples of women role models from throughout history who have lived their mission with grace and faith. So tell us about a couple of women you included.
So one is Irina Sendler, who is the Polish woman, the social worker, who during World War II under the Nazi regime smuggled babies and children out of the Jewish ghetto. And she was caught. And I'm always fascinated when someone suffers so much for people that they really don't know. I mean, I get suffering for children, my own children maybe. But she was just an incredible example of self-giving. And she was tortured to give information. She didn't give the information. She went right back into smuggling out these babies and toddlers. Immaculée is another one. Immaculée Ilzikiza.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to learn how to say her last name.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
She is amazing. I've seen her speak. I've met her.
Yeah.
I am just so impressed. In her case, this ability to forgive. I know when I read the book the first time, my jaw dropped when I saw how she was willing to forgive actively, just as she was being persecuted. That was just such
I know. Isn't it incredible?
Oh,
incredible.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so there are others. I've always had a fascination for Queen Margaret of Scotland and just this amazing example of dignity and grace and self-giving during a very brutal period of time. And how I can picture King Malcolm transforming just a little bit. I mean, he was still a barbarian, but she definitely had an effect on him through her example. So there's so many examples across history. I look to them. I gather strength from the women who've come before us.
You also include a little extras, like, you know, you have quizzes and charts and photos and illustrations. How can a girl use that information and apply it today?
So just like in my first book, It's So You, giving these quizzes, taking these quizzes, these self-examinations, you come to learn about yourself. And I think you can't turn away and turn out and look to the market, you know, to the purchasing of clothing or the digesting of information until you really understand who you are. And obviously who you are as a woman and your mission. In the first chapter, I try to talk about finding your mission, maybe even a little bit on vocation. But then when you're buying an outfit or when you're reading a tweet, to think through it, to understand yourself in your digestion, let's say, of that information on social media. Am I apt to jump to a conclusion? Am I apt to think the worst about the situation? Or am I just hopelessly optimistic so much that I can't even discern the good from the bad? So I'm quite a sanguine person, and I sometimes am overly optimistic, and then I'm shocked when things go wrong.
Yeah.
So to understand, how do you process information? How do you react to things?
How do we get the book, Mary Sheehan Warren? How do we purchase the book?
Well, you just said the name of my website, MarySheehanWarren.com, you can get it at Tan Book, which is my publisher, and on Amazon, and then, of course, at my website, I have the links for both books and to my blog.
And again, this is designed for teenagers. Do you recommend that moms read it with their kids?
Oh, I think that would be very fun. Some of my friends have said, hey, wait a minute, I think this is really for moms. I do speak directly to teenagers, high middle school, young college even, and I think moms might enjoy it. It could help frame some conversations or get some things started for them.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just purchased it myself. I'm not going to lie. I just bought it on Amazon because I want to have this conversation with my own daughter, even though she's a tween. She's maybe two or three years off from really reading it herself. But I thought it was really fascinating. And as a communications person who, you know, has worked in communications my entire career and I speak about Christ communication-centered messages, I just think it's an important conversation to have with your daughter. So thank you for writing this book, Mary. I think it's a great guide for us parents to even start that conversation with our girls as they're heading to high school.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Any last message before we let you go to people listening this morning about the book and the communication and the message? Because communication is verbal, nonverbal, how we dress, how we speak, social media. I mean, you kind of encompass it all in this book, but any last messages before we let you go?
I would say that as human beings, as persons created in the image and likeness of God, that we need to have a little bit of silence. I'd say every day go for some silence and let it turn into prayer. Have a presence of God so that we can make decisions over all these different things. I think we're all facing a lot of clutter and a little bit of silence, turning things off, and just talking to God is a great help.
Mary Sheehan Warren, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We're going to continue this conversation here on Catholic Connection. Joining us next is Nate Wine from Corporate Travel about a trip Teresa and Deacon Dom will be taking. Stay with us, everyone.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
A friend of mine was upset about being disrespected by her sister and wanted to confront her but didn't know how. She asked two of us for advice but ended up so angry about the situation, she sent a text to her sister without our suggestions. That text escalated the problem. A text message feud ensued and the sister stopped talking. When texting or emailing, so much communication is lost. All nonverbal communication is gone. Without tone of voice, inflection, or body language, the words are taken at complete face value and can be read as offensive. That is exactly what happened with my friend. Some conversations need to be had in person. Text messaging wasn't around 2,000 years ago, but when Jesus said, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone," he meant face to face, not through a messenger, and I'm sure he would mean face to face today and not through a text message. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Denha here. It is a beautiful Valentine's Day. Still a little chilly, but it's actually only 40 degrees here in the Metro Detroit area. Where you are, hopefully your temperatures are warming up a little bit. It's been really cold here. Well, joining us now is Nate Wine from Corporate Travel. And, Nate, I'm reading this little message about this next trip. Deacon Dom and Teresa are taking marriage retreat to Italy and the Amalfi Coast in Rome. So tell us about that.
Morning, Vanessa. Thanks for having me.
I'm already jealous just reading this, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, and what better day to talk about it than
Valentine's,
you know, husbands out there who may have been curious of what final gift to purchase for their spouse. And well, what better opportunity than spending a week together on retreat along the Amalfi Coast and in the eternal city of Rome. So. Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the trip. What could people expect?
Sure. So it's going to be 8 nights, 4 of which will be down in Sorrento, which is nestled in to the Amalfi Coast, ranked as one of the most beautiful drives and coastlines in the world. So the beginning of their pilgrimage and retreat will start down there, having opportunity to tour the Limoncello factory, have lunches on top of the mountain coastline overlooking the Bay of Naples, getting out to Capri, and then they'll head up north back to Rome for their final 4 nights, stopping in Malta Casino along the way, and then have the experience in the eternal city of seeing Christian Rome, the major basilicas, the catacombs, praying with the Holy Father on his Sunday Angelus, and then you couldn't go to Rome without visiting the Sistine Chapel and the Vatican Museums. So it will be, it's certainly geared up, and along the way, I know this is, I believe, number 5 for Teresa and Deacon Dom of hosting these Roman holiday retreats. So I know how excited they are for the opportunity.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And how, I mean, I know it's tied into marriage, and we're talking about that here on Valentine's Day, but what should couples expect then, Nate, on this trip in terms of their prayerful relationship, marriage, focusing on that during this trip?
Oh, it's a wonderful question, Vanessa. And I mean, this is why Teresa and Deacon Dom hold these opportunities, these pilgrimages, because not only is it having the opportunity to get away from the hustle and bustle, from work, from the family, and connect on a personal level as a couple, but then also internally of having that time, the Holy Spirit, at these unique and historical places, to really reflect upon and grow not only as an individual, but as a couple and then as a community. The beautiful thing is that couples will be coming from around the United States. So growing together, and learning from one another in terms of the struggles that they've had. I know Deacon Dom and Teresa share their personal stories and testimonies, and then they lead different exercises and kind of presentations and talks along the way on ways that the couples can improve and grow in their marriage.
I think it's so important, too, they have that opportunity, the couples attending this, to have that testimony from Deacon Dom and Teresa, because they do have such a powerful testimony in their reversion back to the church and saving their own marriage. And I'm not speaking out of school, because she talks about all the time about what they went through as a married couple and how their marriage is stronger than ever before. And they credit their faith and prayerful life to that, and to have that testimony and that experience on this beautiful trip, and, you know, maybe prompt other couples to talk about, you know, things they've gone through. And I think every couple, whether you have children or not, you need that kind of time alone because you do get caught up in life, you know. I was just telling my husband the other day, I go, we need like a weekend, you know, away, you know, because we're so caught up in life and our daughter. And you do need that time, Nate, to kind of regroup as a couple.
Exactly. And it's very difficult to do in terms of setting that that time aside, because it's easy in theory but difficult to actually do. So that's why an experience such as this is committing. It's truly an investment in your relationship, and not only in Christ, but also then as a couple, so you can come back and be that example to others, to friends, to family. So,
did you pick this Amalfi Coast in Rome because it was a combination of a faith journey and a romantic journey? I mean, because I've been to Rome; it's beautiful. Did you pick it for that reason?
We did. Because of the beauty of the Amalfi Coast, and having more of the beach and tropical getaway spot in terms of the hotels overlooking. There's the opportunity to have balcony rooms if people choose so. There's also a rich history in terms of down in the Amalfi Coast, in terms of celebrating Mass at the Cathedral of Amalfi, which is dedicated to St. Andrew, or the Santa Maria Assumptum, which is has the 12th century Black Madonna. So there's a number of things that oftentimes are kind of overlooked of, oh, Amalfi Coast is just your beach vacation spot, which, yes, that's true, but there's also a rich history there. But then being able to finish in Rome and have the masses in the major basilicas within the walls of St. Peter's, and then be blessed by the Holy Father as a conclusion to this week, is, as you mentioned, the perfect combination of both the romantic kind of retreat style and lower pace in Amalfi to then Rome, where more of the hustle and bustle of the city life.
Let me ask you this. I know it's an organized trip, obviously, through Corporate Travel, and Teresa and Deacon Dom are there to help guide it. But will the couples have some downtime and alone time?
Oh, absolutely. That is actually from experience. It's often the mistake that groups make when they're looking to go to Italy is there's so much to see and do that it's go, go, go the entire time. And then before you know it, the trip is concluded and it's just been a whirlwind. So we've found what we believe is a perfect balance in terms of both seeing the major spots, but also if you don't allow that time at leisure or time for prayer and reflection, that you miss out on a huge component of what pilgrimage is all about. And it's having that time to reflect with the Holy Spirit and then have the time to discuss it and share that experience with your significant other.
So, Nate, how do we register for this trip through Corporate Travel? What do we need to do?
Yeah, so for those interested, they can call our office at 866-468-1420, and our reservation team can answer questions, can then email interested individuals the reservation form and the full brochure. You can also go out and grab the full brochure on our website, which is ctscentral.net, and then you can just go up into the search bar and type in Teresa Tamio, and her upcoming pilgrimages will appear. So those would be the easiest two ways. Once again, 866-468-1420, or the website ctscentral.net.
One last question before I let you go here, Nate. It's May 5th to the 14th. What's the climate typically in Rome in the Amalfi Coast at that time?
Oh, it's beautiful. We chose the time of year because it's going to be it's going to range in the 60s to mid 70s. May even get up into the 80s on a nice warm day. So perfect temperature in terms of warming up into spring, but not too hot yet.
Nate Wine, thanks for joining us, Corporate Travel, from Corporate Travel. We appreciate this information about the trip, marriage retreat with Deacon Don. Teresa, thanks for being on the show with us this morning.
Oh, my pleasure, Vanessa. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, you too. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to continue this conversation, ending here on a little note about Valentine's Day and great ways to celebrate a Catholic Valentine's Day from a blog I found from Women of Grace. We'll be right back with that after the break.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
College is supposed to be a place where beliefs get challenged, where students are taught how to think, not just what to think. But that's been changing in this era of safe spaces and trigger warnings. Why? We look at the coddling of the American mind with Greg Lukianoff. We'll also talk with Lynn Wood, lawyer for now exonerated Nick Sandman.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, as we complete Christ's descension to earth, Zacchaeus the tax collector ascends the tree and prepares us for the season of Christ's ascent to the cross and to his resurrection.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. Vanessa Denha here. It's been a pleasure being here these 3 days this week. Teresa will be back tomorrow with a pre-record featuring Teresa and Steve Weidenkopf on his new book, Timeless, A History of the Catholic Church. And then Sherry Brownrigg will host on Monday, and I'll be back on Tuesday of next week. And, of course, as I said, as you know, it's Valentine's Day. And I read a little bit about Valentine's earlier in the show, but, you know, I found this blog from a few years ago from the Women of Grace, and it's great ways to celebrate a Catholic Valentine's Day. And so I kind of wanted to share that with our listeners this morning, because anytime we could take a holiday that our Christian holidays or Catholic holidays that they've become secularized and take them back, I think is really important and make it Catholic again. So, you know, this is great ways to celebrate a Catholic Valentine's Day. This was posted February 14, 2012 by Susan Brickman. Learning how to write a winning love letter, whipping up a great dessert, and tips to building a stronger marital bond are just some of the suggestions made by the world's bishops for couples who are eager to celebrate their love this Valentine's Day. I'm actually very excited about going out for dinner with my husband and my brother-in-law, Mark, and his wife, Rita, for Valentine's. We haven't done that in a long time. So I think it's important that every couple gets away, too. But according to RomeReports.com, Valentine's Day is actually linked to a 3rd century Italian priest who stood up to the emperor, Claudius II's edict that outlawed marriage because he wanted men to focus exclusively on the army. Father Valentine disagreed and decided to marry couples anyway, even though it was illegal. Since then, he became known as a saint and protector of love. To honor his legacy, the Church has issued a few initiatives to celebrate Valentine's Day. For instance, the Episcopal Conference of Australia published a kit for Valentine's Day on its website, which includes tips on how to respect, love, and build a happy marriage. They also offer tips on how to make St. Valentine's Day more memorable, such as by revisiting the place of a first date or proposal. Instead of flowers or chocolates, they suggest giving one another a gift of a new commitment to spend at least 10 minutes every day sharing their highs and lows. Instead of letting Valentine's Day come and go, pick a day near the 14th of every month to celebrate their love with a special date. Oh, I love that idea. Here in the U.S., the bishops have devoted a new page to celebrating National Marriage Week, which ends, this was in 2012, so it's kind of late, but ends today, offering a variety of links for couples who are seriously dating, engaged, or at any stage of married life. It features everything from pastoral letters on marriage to tips on how to write a love letter, which I think is awesome. I actually teased my husband yesterday. I wrote him a Valentine's card, and I'm like, you've never written me a card. He, like, gets me these cards, and he'll, like, sign it from Ronnie G. Like, from, not even love, from Ronnie G. So I'm always teasing him about that. I'm like, I know you're not the most articulate person, but you can write me a little letter once in a while. And because food is so closely linked to the celebration of love, you can check out Catholic Cuisine blog, which features special recipes for great Valentine's Day. So that's a blog called Catholic Cuisine. Make prayer part of your day. This is especially needed in this day and age, and more so even several years later from when this is written, when love, marriage, and family are being attacked on all sides. Take a moment today to say this prayer offered by the U.S. bishops and ask God to protect these vital values for our own time. And I'm going to say this prayer real quickly, and I'm going to have to let you guys go, and we'll see you next week. But God, our Father, we give you thanks for the gift of marriage, the bond of life and love, and the font of the family. The love of husbands and wives enriches your church with children, fills the world with a multitude of spiritual fruitfulness and service, and is a sign of love of your Son, Jesus Christ. For his church, the grace of Jesus flowed forth at Cana at the request of the Blessed Mother. May your Son, through the intercession of Mary, pour out upon us a new measure of gifts of the Holy Spirit as we join with all people of goodwill to promote and protect the unique beauty of marriage. Amen. God bless. Happy Valentine's Day. I'll see you guys all next week.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.
Weekdays at 10 a.m., there's more to life.
St. Valentine's Day.
We're celebrating the gift of love by inviting you to call up and tell us about the love of your life.
Weekdays at 10 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
There's a lot going wrong in the world. What used to be bedrock certainty has become like shifting sands, if not quicksand. It's easy to stick our heads in all the sand and even slip into feelings of despair once in a while. One thing is certain, optimism isn't enough. On my podcast, I asked Archbishop Charles Chaput of Philadelphia how optimism differs from hope. His Excellency gave a very interesting answer. He said, optimism can be a kind of self-hypnosis, while hope is a theological virtue. Whether or not things in this world turn out for the better, the virtue of hope gives us a supernatural perspective. This life and its trials are not the final answer. They're just a dark chapter in a story with the happiest ending imaginable, the glory of heaven. So go ahead, be a pessimist. But make sure you have hope. This is Patrick Coffin of PatrickCoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
When should we pray? The Catholic Catechism asserts that any time is the right time. We learn to pray by hearing the Word of God and sharing in His Paschal Mystery. But the Holy Spirit is offered to us at all times in the events of each day so that prayer can spontaneously spring up from us. Jesus teaches